If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is July 16th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. My hair is wild. And this is a Q&A show. What's up, you guys? I think is the official name of this show. It used to be, what do you guys want to talk about? But listen, when Cody lays claim to that, the name of that show, it's his. So Jimmy isn't here today. He's meeting with contractors or something for his house. I don't know. He's not at work. That's all I know is he isn't at work. And I was actually very excited to talk to him about Bill Goldberg and this interview. I was really pumped to hear his take on it, but that man didn't show up to work. I don't get it. What the hell? If you're here, leave a thumbs up. This show goes basically as long as you guys send in super chats and humper chats. I am here to answer your questions, read your statements, do all that stuff. You can send them here at youtube.com/Fightful. If you are watching on Twitter, on Twitch, on Facebook, or even on YouTube, you can head over to humperchats.com. We have a lot of stuff coming your way this week. Carlos Silva interview, Mike Santana interview, but there's a video I am very proud of, and I really, really want you guys to check this one out. It is on our videos tab on YouTube, and it's the latest Fightful Studios Fightful Studios video where I tell you the process of interviewing Brett the Hitman Hart. It's one of the interviews I'm most proud of. Originally, it was just supposed to be a short 15-minute promotional interview to talk about an animated series, and it turned into a 40-minute interview where I got a lot of really good headlines, and it ended up being talked about in some other shows that upset some people, namely Eric Bischoff, who again is a friend of mine. But I encourage you guys, check out this video that we have. We have a ton of press conference videos and shorts from this weekend's AEW All In. I did an interview with Tony Storm. I'm very proud of that one because we broke Tony Storm during this interview. And let me tell you, I tried to watch Master of Disguise, which she said was her favorite worst movie. It is abysmal. It is abysmal. Whew. Drop some fruit emojis in the chat. Do all that stuff. I'm excited to talk with you guys. It's been a crazy week. And I saw somebody, one of the members say, explain to us your schedule over the last week. Okay. Wednesdays are always busy days, right? Like they're always very, very busy. So I edited the Kevin Knight interview, got that one up, made sure that was done. Had the hump and then had the AEW post show on Wednesday. Again, Wednesdays are very busy for us. Thursday, got up, did the travel for AEW All In, got there, my friend Alex, Queen of the Ring, get well soon, sprained her ankle. So myself and Malcolm were taking care of her, making sure that, you know, she was at least positioned effectively to be able to enjoy the week as best she could. And then Friday, very little sleep, got up, did media at 8 a.m., the media at AEW All In Week. Let me just say, they don't do this often. They don't do the junkets very often. Occasionally they do overseas. This is their first time doing it here. And now the difference between a junket, a scrum, and a presser is a junket is you get individual one-on-one interviews for a certain amount of time. In this case, 5 to 7 minutes. A scrum is where you and a bunch of other media members have your mics, cameras in one person's face, and you collectively ask questions. A press conference is what you see after all the big shows. So we did that in the morning. They actually held it at the esports arena next door to the StarCast thing. So that was very cool. Got a lot of great stuff. Got a few interviews. Went, had lunch with my friend Destiny FOMO. Talked about maybe doing some Fightful Gaming stuff. Keep your eye on that. Went to StarCast. And let me tell you, after the last year and a half I've had with some personal loss and some physical stuff, all that, man, going to StarCast was, one, a big ego boost for me, and two, just a lovely experience. I met dozens of you people there, and it made me so happy. Now, I was sweating my ass off in that suit, but it made me so happy to meet so many people that told us that they love Fightful and they like what we do and all that, because, listen, we could go... You could argue anybody goes the clickbait route. We could go that. We could not be honest. We could be, you know, not true to ourselves. And that's just something that's very important to me. And to me, I believe we have the smartest audience in wrestling, period. And I got to meet dozens of those people. And it was incredible. That evening, I went to ROH Supercard with a number of my friends as well. It was outstanding. I think I was there with Destiny, with Alex, with Malcolm, met a number of other people afterwards, met Michelle Tate and her husband. They are or Michelle hosted the Boo You Horror Pod, and they help run Wrestle Stats, stuff like that. Hung out for quite a while. Next day, got up, very little sleep, did All In. That was a very, very, very long day. Did the media press conference, missed my alarm in the morning, fortunately made my flight, came home, recorded the weekend wrap-up review for Fightful Select, had to head back home to my hometown. Unfortunately, we had a funeral to attend on Monday. My wife's grandfather, rest his soul, lovely man. But we watched Evolution together that night. My wife and I did experience that. Got home in time to do WWE Raw post-show. Then yesterday was all a catch-up day, doing like all the editing and making sure the social media stuff got posted because some things got missed. Woke up today, did an interview with Carlos Silva, posted a bunch of Fightful Select stuff, and here we are right now. So that's been the last week. And you know what, man? I'm blessed to be able to do it. It's awesome. Being busy is a phenomenal thing in this line of work. I would say pretty well since I've done this full time. I've stayed busy almost all the time. And I mean, so much of that is getting to hang out with you guys. I get to talk about wrestling every day with you guys, and it kicks ass. It kicks ass. Thank you all for the wonderful words about my wife's grandfather. He was a lovely man, just a wonderful man. Whew, we have appropriately allowed some super chats, humper chats to come in. I just want to say thank you, Josh Morgan. Again, you stay silent here an awful lot. If you ever want anything read, Josh Morgan, you please reach out. But I just want to say I appreciate so much just your dedication to us. Yeah. Ooh, before we go to our one sponsor, oh boy. BL says, oh, I'm going to piss some people off here. You mentioned steak was your favorite food. What's your favorite cut? How do you like it cooked? Seasoning, ketchup. No ketchup. I like a filet. I love a filet. Jimmy had me and Andrew Thompson and his father in Vegas 6 years ago try this ridiculously expensive Wagyu steak, and it was good. But like, I would rather, instead of the price that steak was, have like 40 Reno's steaks. You know what I want? Or you know what I mean? But every time I hear ketchup on steak, I think of the movie Waiting. Like, you're the guy goes, nothing sets off the flavor of a steak like some ketchup. That stuff, that's what I always think of. Occasionally, I'll have A1, even if it's a really nice, expensive, good cut. Like, sometimes I just like the taste of A1 because it's how I grew up. But generally, a filet, and generally, I want it medium well. Yeah. So here's my line of thinking. Like, I like a lot of outdoor cooking, and I mean like on the fire cooking, like a lot of survivalist cooking and stuff like that. And if I were out there in the woods, I would like to make sure that my food is cooked through. I am not opposed to any of the other ones. I'm not eating it rare or medium rare. Absolutely not. Not doing that. Medium well, I'll do that. yeah. If it's going to be well done, it's going to be outside on a fire. So I said, shot, I'm going to unsub. Like, I'm not opposed to it, guys. But come on. Why are y'all doing this to me? Somebody says, SRS in the wild. I like the outdoors. What can I say? For everybody that says I'm terminally online, it's my job. But when I'm not online, buddy, am I not online? I need for blood for fries or baked potato. That's fair. That's fair. I like to like really overcook the potato when I'm out there as well. I put some hair in your cheeks, John. God, listen, I'm getting roasted here. You know what? You dipshits, you get an ad read now. If you're a wrestling fan and you're looking to save money, NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. I completely cut the cord on cable because I've got NordVPN.com/Fightful. Over 2 years of NordVPN.com/Fightful costs less than 1 month of cable TV. Not only that, if you're a WWE fan, all you need is a Netflix subscription and NordVPN.com/Fightful. You get all their shows. It's not just that, though. You can get pay-per-views at the rate that they are paying overseas as opposed to the incredible rates that we pay here in the States. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, Sean, how's that possible? With NordVPN, you change your virtual location with just one click and you appear virtually wherever you want to be. But it's not just that. They've got threat protection. They've got 24/7 customer support and a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're going to. Go check out all the features over at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Y'all, leave me alone. Why are you all bothering? Probably microwave. You all are... I. You know what? I changed my mind. Y'all, go watch somebody else. Go watch JD. I don't want you all anymore. See, here's the evidence. They got my own cameras going rogue on me. What? It's tired. Oh, my camera's trying to go medium rare for you dumbasses. Look at this. Okay, like, listen, somebody's saying you watch too many Instagram reels. I like, there are some channels that I really like on YouTube. Outdoor Boys, even though they just stopped their channel or they were wrapping it up. Mav, I think, is one of them. But I watch like Naked and Afraid and Alone and stuff like that as well. Oh my God. You all are ridiculous. You got to stop this. Please. All I ask, please don't tell Meat Normus about this. Please do not tell Meat Normus because I am not ready for the lack of financial support that he will provide us once he finds this out. So I, as long as he doesn't find out, we're good. Yeah, Mav is incredible. Mav is, I like truck camping videos. Like, I've got a big Ford Bronco and a Jeep Sahara. So it's a 4XE. Roast me, guys. Oh, my God. It's got a little electric to it. But, oh, my God. Meat Norius. It's Meat Normus, but honestly, Meat Norius is probably what my name will be now. Damn, man. I'm going to get to these super chats and humper chats. Look, Kim Gray says, I got your back, Sean. Look at this. How you feeling, Kim? Hope you're doing okay. Who do I got Sunday, JC or Masha? This is a JC Jane Stan account, buddy. You can go back to that first time she was on SmackDown with Gigi. And ever since then, when people said, who should be a call-up? I said, JC Jane. I think that she gets it from a TV standpoint. I was so happy to see her take that leap from a booking perspective. Really, really liked it. Disagree, Master of Disguise is amazing. It is abysmal. I got through 25 minutes of it and then immediately fast-forwarded to the turtle part of it.
What? Am I not turtly enough for you?
That was great. But him saying turtle repeatedly throughout the segment, the accent throughout the whole movie, not for me, man. It was bad. It was so bad. So bad. Whew. Do you know if Bayley has SummerSlam plans? I don't, but I would be surprised if she doesn't with a two-night situation, right? Like, I would be shocked that if she doesn't, because, like, this is, you know what? I think that the triple threat match and program is a perfect example of WWE and how Evolution over-delivered. Because when I reported on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business, higher up told me they were put in a position to over-deliver. And I said directly to that person, you all didn't build it worth shit. And they were like, they were put in a position to over-deliver. You know, the typical PR spin of such a thing, even though it wasn't from a PR person. The way that this feud and Evolution in general came together is far less good than the result. So, for example, Evolution kicked ass. I really loved the show, but the build was bad. The way that this triple threat came about was bad, but the result has been very good. You have two very established talents working to get Lyra over to the level that they are. And that's what a lot of this is, even in Loss. It's to develop a story. And this one was like sort of in reverse. Like, if you were going to not have Bayley on WrestleMania, you should have planned ahead of time. Get Roxanne involved, get another match involved. If the IC title wasn't going to be in WrestleMania, well, you should have planned for that as well. You could have started this off a little bit sooner. I know Becky had some issues that she spoke about, but... What's going on here? We'll address this later. I was in the middle of an actual wrestling talking point here. But they should have had an IC title match at WrestleMania. There should have been an actual tag team title program at WrestleMania. Bayley should have been on WrestleMania. But what these three have done is take this really bad, nonsensical omission of several things from WrestleMania and turned it into a really good feud with really good matches. Like the fact that Bayley and Lyra went out and had those back-to-back matches and that people are still doubting Becky Lynch, the greatness of Becky Lynch at this point is baffling to me. But I think you gotta have stuff like that on the show. You gotta have stuff like story development to really hammer home this women's division. And it did give me a little bit of optimism, a little bit of optimism there. So hopefully it'll stay that way. Let me gather up these super chats and humper chats, my friends. Let's see.
Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back, and that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Okay, I'm going to save the Goldberg ones. Just got in from the meat store. Ribs were on sale. I love ribs. I love ribs. Like those. Listen, what do you do with ribs, buddy? You eat them raw? Eat them almost raw? No. You smoke those sumbitches. That's what you do. Meat Normus wouldn't judge you, SRS. He did, though. He did. My good friend Meat Normus dropped a big meaty piece of judgment on me. Take that however way you want it. Take that however way you want it. Oh, a bunch of humper chats over here. Let's go. Let's go. Just Mask says, Sean, no disrespect to him intended. Actually, yeah, okay, yeah. Fully open to the notion that I'm reaching here, but Fletcher giving Cole two bad shots to the head within a month of concussion-related hiatus raised any questions backstage. There have certainly been talent that have said, do you know what spot it happened on? And I said, yes, it was the lariat. And they said, yeah. And I think it was done as a message because, listen, people like Kyle Fletcher. They like him a lot. But, like, sometimes they want that stuff out there where it's like, even though he's a nice guy, take care of your people a little bit better. I, you know what? I can remember a situation I can now talk about years ago. Hangman was knocking the shit out of some people. And Hangman is such a sincerely nice guy that a lot of these talent were like, they would mention it and stuff, but they didn't know if it was getting through to him. And some of the wrestlers were talking to me and they're like, if he knocks the shit out of people, like it's got to be reported. Like there haven't been, like, I think there were a couple concussions or something. So I started to ask around and I said, Carl Anderson, hey, you took the buckshot from Hangman. Did he knock the shit out of you? And Carl said, no, if anybody hits me hard, I'll quit, which was very funny. But then, like, you know, the person that was like telling me this stuff, I was like, well, hold off. We're going to have a talk with him. But allegedly, and I'm going to say allegedly, before the talk could happen, Arn Anderson was like, you like wrestling here? You like your push? And Hangman's like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, stop knocking the shit out of people. You won't have anybody to work with. And it wasn't a problem after that. Now, that was rumor, speculation, backstage and all that. But, you know, sometimes messages do need to be delivered. And you also, wrestlers would generally prefer it laid in than lightened. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. After a long weekend of wrestling, I leave thinking Hangman Moxley was my favorite match of the weekend. As someone who doesn't love AEW a ton, I've gravitated towards Hangman as of late. His character work is some of the best going right now to me. Yeah, I mean, I will happily take credit for us calling him the main character of AEW for years now. And Mike says, if you had the pin, what would be next for Hangman? I would have it be Swerve or Ospreay, unless MJF steps up and challenge, which I will say, I asked at the presser if it would be something where it would be a cash-in or if it would be like a declaration. And he said, Tony admitted, he's like, I don't have an answer for that yet. We're going to see. He goes, but it has changed every year, so there's precedence for it changing. I know last year they felt like the cash-in was a bit of an albatross and it didn't really work that well, or it didn't work that well for the stories that they had. But Hangman is one of the most multi-layered characters in AEW, and I can share from my own coverage point. Like in ROH, I didn't see it. I didn't see what there is now. I wasn't a particularly big fan of his in-ring work. Like he would do the shooting star press into a shoulder block. And like, if you know me, you know I like the athletic, even acrobatic elements of pro wrestling. But I remember every time I saw that, I was like, okay, if he ran and did a shoulder block, it would be more impactful than him slowing his momentum, almost coming to a stand and then shoulder blocking somebody. The only way it would be more is if he did a front flip with a shoulder block. That's how the laws of motion work. He doesn't do that move anymore. Whether it be physically or from a psychological standpoint, he doesn't do that move anymore. So there have been some adjustments and been some changes and things like that. But I also think that his character work has improved so much because it was clear from the get-go he was going to be one of the guys that was going to be pushed pretty heavily in the company. He and I think it was Pac were the first two people that declared they wanted the AEW title, right? And a lot of people knew it wasn't going to be the Bucks. It wasn't probably going to be Jericho. But it wasn't going to be one of the EVPs. It wasn't going to be Cody. It wasn't going to be anybody like that because you can't just put the title on Omega Cody immediately, right? So it had to be somebody else, but people also knew it was their buddy. And they're like, ah, really? Really this? And we've just seen layer after layer after layer of repeated like character development come along here. It's been very good. Alex says, after a long weekend of wrestling, actually we read that one. Tony says, glad you had fun in Dallas, Sean. Sad I couldn't say hi. Hey, there's going to be plenty of other opportunities, my friend. I do really feel like NXT could have both main belts by the end of the show. Do you think it could be damaging to TNA's own fans? A lot of WWE lifers seem to have warmed up to AEW after All In. So, little sidebar on my YouTube while I'm watching stuff. TikTok, Instagram recommendations. What I'm seeing a lot more of that I haven't seen in years on content platforms are videos like, I tried AEW and emerged a fan. You won't see a lot of those with WWE in general, just because if you are a wrestling fan, generally you get in through WWE. That's largely how it happens. So there's not really that way of doing it. Now, what you will see, it was a couple of years ago where people say, I gave WWE another chance and it's way better now. But you are seeing a lot of people that are just discovering AEW for the first time that have been nothing but WWE fans. And I see a lot more of those now than I have seen in years and years and years. I don't know that I even saw that many in 2021 when they had all those debuts, right? Like it is definitely opening a lot of people up for whatever reason. I can't speak to what it is. I didn't hear anybody say, well, it's because I'm dissatisfied with WWE. Just people found a good jumping off point to check out AEW, and it seems like it worked out very, very well for AEW. Alex says, Jimmy will be buying my Sharks home opener tickets in about 45 minutes. Will be my fourth year in a row. It's become a tradition. Sean, any food you had in Texas worth raving about? How was getting in and out of the stadium? Well, for me, it was very good because I booked my hotel like a year in advance across the road. And getting out, no problem, because I didn't get out for another 2 hours after the show because I had that damn presser. I can tell you guys, though, Dallas is the reason I no longer have Bengals season tickets. In the late part of the season, very discouraged as a Bengals fan, I started to give my tickets away to some friends because I didn't want to make the trip up. But I was there for the AEW All-In ticketing event, and I went to the Dallas Cowboys Bengals game. And seeing the amenities and the stadium they had there made me realize that my team's owners don't care about comfortability or amenities or anything. We got a concrete slab with a field in the middle, and it sucks. Alex says, Jimmy. Oh, that was already, man. Just rereading stuff. New Lack City says, all in past weekend with my 12-year-old son's first live wrestling show. He had to be there for over 7 hours. Poor kid, but at least the 3-hour event will be nothing for him moving forward. Buck Swerve and Ospreay was his favorite match. Great show. Well, I'm glad you all got to share that experience. It was a long show. I am not keen on the long shows. I don't like 7-hour WWE, AEW, UFC shows. It is not for me. It is not for me. And A. McLaughlin says, Sean, wondering what you think with the War Games match will be this year. I know it's early, but I think OG Bloodline will be involved again. Imagine Big Jim will move to Raw soon enough with the rest of the Bloodline. Yeah, because Roman probably ain't going to hang around too long, right? So I would imagine Jimmy does move since Naomi is over there now. He did kind of wrap things up with the Bloodline, but I'm ready to move on from that. Right? Like, what more can you do? What more can you do? I guess they could do Roman, Jacob, Jimmy, Jay, Sammy against Tala, Tama, Tonga, JC Mateo, and Solo. But does anybody have any interest in that anymore? Because I don't. I'm just looking at the lay of the land, and with Seth being hurt, it really, really hurts. Oh, man. I don't. This is why I think Survivor Series elimination matches are better. But knowing WWE, they'll probably just continue to do that. Like, they'll continue to do the Samoan thing. Hey guys, stop spamming the chat with the same exact thing, please. If you want your question or statement read on the air, donate a super chat or a humper chat like so many other wonderful people have done. We are going to talk about the Goldberg thing. We'll get to that. Shotgun Sean said, did Dustin Rhodes accidentally win the TNT title? Sammy seemed like he was supposed to break up the pin, missed the spot. Sammy and Kyle looked genuinely shocked, like the match had just ended early. And Just Mask says, Dustin winning was an incredible moment. When I asked, I was just told, no, he's just very good at his job. And it was a very important moment for him. I think that people forget that he's just really, really, really great. He is an exceptional pro wrestler. And especially from an emotional standpoint, he does an incredible job. Now, all things considered, this came together within 12 hours, right? Like, you cannot predict the type of thing that happened. And that, unfortunately, will paint you into a rough corner. And that is what happened with the Adam Cole situation. And it was sad and it was depressing. And they had to make a call, and they decided to go with the easy pop there, which, yeah, I don't really hate them doing or mind them doing. Wasn't a great match or anything like that, but I haven't heard that it was like that it wasn't supposed to happen. Haven't heard that that it came out of nowhere or anything like that, or just think he's very good at his job. Dave Koss, thank you so much for the generous super chat. He says, Cody should challenge for an I Quit match, a la Hanger challenging for Texas Death. Cena matches are gaga-filled anyway, so might as well. The theater of Mr. Never Give Up, giving up is a good conduit for character range. Dave Koss, I agree completely with this. And when he gives up, he says that that was the moment that he realized that he had not stayed true to himself or stayed true to his mantra, and that's a true sign that he should hang it up. Dave Koss, I really love this idea. And Cody Rhodes beating John Cena, well, people beat John Cena. People beat John Cena for years. But him making the guy give up, I think is just a masterful way to end that title run and end the heel reign, which has been a very disappointing heel run, in my opinion. And I just want to make this clear. I do not put that on Cody Rhodes or John Cena or even WWE to some perspective, because I would believe that they thought that they were going to have The Rock more. And it's interesting because every time I ask about it, it's met with a lot more silence than usual because, you know, the majority of his created is usually kind of shrouded and stuff. But and maybe I could do a little collab with a lot of other sort of scoopsters, maybe myself, and I could pressure like WrestleVotes and some of the PWN gentlemen into maybe we could really dig in on this and try to find out what the hell was supposed to happen, because I've been met with a lot of silence regarding that. But I love this idea, and babyface behavior is accountability. And I think that he'll do that. And then through the end of the year, we see that run unfold. Hi, SRS. Hope you're having a good week. Thank you, Tim Traver. I love seeing you here, man. Ryan Warren says, hey, Sean, can you see the Money in the Bank briefcase being given to Braun, Bronson, or the fourth mystery member of the stable? Which is wild because as of the weekend of WrestleMania, when they started it, it was just supposed to be Seth and Braun. And then they added Bronson to it. But like Paul Heyman was pretty openly telling people, like, yeah, it's just going to be us. That's it. I could see it being handed off to somebody else, but I think that Braun's ascent to the top will be through earning it. I don't think you need to give Braun Breaker a briefcase in order to justify a title shot. It'll just be him winning. I love the way that they had him run through three people and then CM Punk slid in and took the victory. I actually like that, because it shows that there is an actual threat to him or an actual threat there. Mr. Straightfire says, while he was the tribal chief, Solo was quite boring, but this version of Solo is quite entertaining. Do you think he was intentionally not meant to get over as tribal chief to turn Roman babyface by absence? So that was the interesting thing. Roman didn't do anything babyface-ish. He just went away while somebody else got heat. I just think that Solo was finding his voice. And Solo has found his voice and is very entertaining. We're seeing more of his real personality shine through. And while he can play a brooding, intimidating, silent guy, that's clearly not who he is. That's not who any of the Fatus or Anoa'is are. They're all very charismatic and personable and full of personality. And like they're magnetic in that way. Like, check out my interview last week with Zilla. Anytime you talk to Jacob, he's that way. The Usos, clearly. Roman Reigns has that in a more silent way, but he's got that as well. You see TK talk about how Dragon Lee went to WWE. Shout out to Case from Voices of Wrestling, who did that interview. But yeah, it is... He spoke very openly about how FTR that day was like, something odd's going on here. Something odd's happening. And it was. It certainly was. And he's found out through the Stephanie Vaquer and Dragon Lee situations, be more careful with that stuff. And I think it's good that he learned that. Arduit says, thanks for helping and bringing attention to the Central Texas flood. That's my home area. Good to see some good peeps helping out. Unfortunately, we deal with floods, tornadoes, a lot of stuff like that in this area. So just wanted to help out a little bit and glad that we could. Ryan McClure says, Sean, want to get back into wrestling journalism again. Used to help out Thomas Fenton for Wrestling News World for years. Any news on how to get back in the game? Wow. I have not heard Wrestling News World in a long time. Man, they used to be pretty good. So I'm going to give you the same advice I give anybody. Just produce content. And you might say, Sean, what kind? And my answer is all of it. If you want to get back into it, especially from a paid perspective, you got to have a body of work that people understand. So there's nothing on Fightful that I can't do myself. So work on social media stuff, get a Canva account, work on graphics and produce those. Do a video show, do like your reactions, or do like what you thought of a show and edit the video, or do a live podcast, edit the audio of it so people will know that you do that. Reach out to indie wrestlers, do interviews, then transcribe those interviews, then send those transcriptions to wrestling websites who will then pick up those interviews. Do news articles, do results articles. If you want to do opinion-based stuff, do that as well. But cast a wide net, because very rarely am I hiring something for just one thing. Corey Brennan, for example. Corey Brennan, Irish gentleman who I brought in for the writing team, also does interviews. He also edits stuff. He also gets us Fightful Select scoops on occasion. He also does some social media. That's what you got to be at this point. Rob Wilkins, who does Coexisting, does our shorts, does our thumbnails, does a lot of that. Jeremy Lambert is the director of content, so he arranges all that. Very rarely will you get hired to do just one thing. And the reason for that, when I was in college, it was no longer journalism. It was multimedia journalism. Then they changed it from multimedia journalism to convergent media. They want you to know how to do a lot of these things because you have to be able to cast a wide net for a lot of these media companies. Jay Hudson, I have a story coming up on this now. So do you know what the latest is happening with Cardi B hosting SummerSlam? Is that completely off the card now? I'm talking to somebody about that today. So I'll have something on that very soon, probably by tomorrow morning, I would say. But I am talking to somebody about it today. Why is there still no sale date for the AEW 2300 shows? Because AEW is very bad at that. They are very bad about getting their shows, like the ticketing going there. Let's see, it's August 27th through September 11th. And there's still not tickets on sale. I mean, I know it's not a big venue or anything like that, but you can already buy Dynamite, London, Ontario, and All Out tickets. So why the hell aren't the tickets on sale yet? I want to see if I can find that out. I think we'll see Jelly Roll do more than SummerSlam. If it's a train wreck, no. If it's decent, probably. And I don't have a problem with it like a lot of other people do. Like it's common. It's a celebrity thing. I don't mind it at all. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We are going to talk about Goldberg very, very soon. The Evob says, what do you think about Ireland? How Ireland's first TV show is a SmackDown on August 22nd and all their Irish talent is on Raw. Well, the brand split doesn't mean a damn thing. That's what I think of it. Brand split doesn't mean a thing. They'll just send their Irish talent over there. Man, my nose and my cheeks itch, getting allergic reactions. By God, leave a thumbs up on this video. But yeah, that brand split don't mean a damn thing. You're good, buddy. If you're going to that show, you're good. Arduit says, SRS, asked in the Q&A on Fightful Select. Good plug. Haven't had a chance to listen. Is Tony down to bring a pay-per-view back to Texas? Did you see Superman? Highly recommend. Thanks. So, yes, Tony is open to going back to Texas. I'm told that they really enjoyed it there. They were happy with ticket sales. They've been happy with the various residencies and everything there. I was told that they're absolutely coming back to Texas, bringing a pay-per-view back to Texas. Did I see Superman? No. But my friend Destiny FOMO was trying to convince me into doing it. I don't watch many superhero films these days. I had superhero fatigue. That being said, I love Deadpool, like Peacemaker. I watched the Miles Morales Spider-Man movies and I thought they were just perfect works of art. I was told to watch the Superman thing and I was sent one scene that one really spoke to me and two changed my perception of things. So I've been known to kind of go back at some people on social media, but it was a scene where Lex Luthor caused Superman to doubt himself because he had orchestrated a team of trained monkeys to just tweet negatively about Superman. And I was like, you know what? This one speaks to me. This one speaks to me and is usually the intelligence level of the people that I go at. Yep, somebody says it was the Lex and monkey scene, wasn't it? Yeah, it sure was, buddy. Is the story about the draft post-SummerSlam story true? Because rosters seem like they need a refresh. I haven't heard that. I haven't been told that. But they do need a draft very badly. Your top five matches from the weekend, mine in order, Rhea Io, Ospreay Swerve, and the Bucks, Lyra, Becky, Bailey, Hangman Mox, Mercedes, Tony. Okay. In no order, Takeshita Bandido, Starks, Page, Rhea Io, Mercedes, Tony, and I'm going to go Bucks, Ospreay, Swerve. Hangman Mox is just outside of it for me because I'm not like a deathmatch guy. I'm not like a big deathmatch guy, but I love the match. What does it say that Okada and Omega might have been like the seventh or eighth best match of a wrestling weekend? Damn, man. Melo tweeted a few days ago he was hungry. Triple H disliked Carmelo. His booking has been inexplicable, especially when there's a need to push younger male stars. I've never heard personally that Triple H dislikes Carmelo Hayes, but if he really, really liked Carmelo Hayes, why would there not be better booking here? He has not been on SmackDown, hasn't wrestled on SmackDown in over a month. He lost a King of the Ring qualifier. Okay. Before that, he lost a Money in the Bank qualifier. Before that, he lost to Aleister Black twice. Before that, he won the Andre Battle Royal. And I always tell people, make that mean something. It means as much as you tell us. They tell us that it means. So, they've told us that it still means nothing. Absolutely means nothing. What was he doing before that? Well, he lost to lost to Randy Orton. He won a DQ over Braun Strowman, lost a contendership match, and they had him teaming with The Miz. So not since February have they really had him doing much of anything. And then putting him with The Miz, it's like, why on earth would you do that? I'm just saying, if he really, really, really liked Carmelo Hayes, he'd be booking him appropriately. I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't like him because I don't know that. But he has had no booking urgency with this man. I like DraftKings guy from 0 Hour, Steve Buchanan, calling out Moxley and saying AEW deserves a new deserves a better champ. Is that a new segment? I mean, it's just a part of their corporate synergy. He says, hate Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart got booed mercilessly in the crowd at All In for those commercials. What the hell? Whew. Any update on Karrion Kross's contract status? Do you think talent is next to jump from AEW to WWE? Maybe Danhausen. Maybe. I would be shocked if Karrion Kross wasn't signed. Very shocked. They got new merch. He's on TV. He was on a PLE. He's featured pretty regularly, but he's going to play that close to the vest because it plays better for the buzz of his character. Like, he ain't gonna tell me. He ain't gonna tell anybody that's gonna tell me. He's gonna keep that stuff very, very quiet. Ryan Adams says AEW has always been bad with ticketing. We usually go to the show if it's here. In Minneapolis, we had no idea AEW was in town because they didn't promote it at all until day of. Yes, they've got to do better with local promotion as well. I mean, when they're in Lexington, Louisville, I'll hit them up and say, hey, let's do an interview, because local papers will pick it up if it's in Lexington, if it's in Louisville, if it's anything like that. And in the past, hadn't, I mean, really, honestly, sometimes every company, TNA is the best with local promotion, sending people out there to do that stuff. And they get a late push as a result of it. But AEW has got to do better than that. Got to do better than that. By the way, Seth Rollins did host the Rich Eisen show today. I got people asking what I think of the speculation regarding his injury. So I'll tell you what I can and share my thoughts really quickly before this ad break. Upon the situation happening backstage Saturday, they had to change and adjust things on the fly. People were not clued in on it. They treated it as if it was real. There were people who would not lie to me who seemed very concerned. However, those people have gone a little silent on me since then. When I've asked about, oh, well, what about this Dave Meltzer, John Pollock thing where they said they heard about it and that it was planned and covering up for another injury? I just want to make this clear. I am not Seth Rollins' doctor. Sometimes you got to wait a few days on swelling to go down for MRIs, all that stuff. I don't have the exact information on how long he'll be out or anything like that. What I also will not do is rule out a Machiavelli situation where they're trying to make you think that he's way more hurt than he is, and then he shockingly shows up and cashes in Money in the Bank at some point. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I just won't rule it out either, because, listen, the John Cena injury at like, whenever that was, when he came back at Rumble, like, they did a good job masking that. Did a very good job masking that. Eager to hear your overall thoughts on Evolution. Do you believe we'll see another one in the future? Truly think it dominated the women or weekend for women's wrestling. I don't know if it dominated it for women's wrestling, because Tony and Mercedes did well, but it did a great job. Now, I don't know. I think it's Jamara. I think this is you. It's the Jay Hudson. It doesn't give me your name. It gives me your handle, but I think that's you. I did a full Fightful Select review on this. If you want to check that out, don't know if you subscribe, but did a full review on it. I thought it was good. I thought it was really, really good. It was sandwiched between with two incredible matches. I love that Naomi got her moment. She has been killing it as a character. The Battle Royal made an awful lot of sense to me. Stephanie emerging as the winner there. I felt like JC Jane was going to win against Jordan, and she did. She got a lot of high marks from people I talked to about her performance so far. I thought that they did an incredible job in a situation where, you know, they could have been put in a situation to fail, right? They could have been put in a situation where the build wasn't there, the booking wasn't there, and as a result, people didn't care. What they did was they went out and made people care. That main event, having that unbelievable match, and then bam, Naomi steps in and takes it. Whew. That was good stuff, man. That was such good stuff. Loved it. Thought they had a really great show and was just over the moon about it. Over the moon about it. And I think that they should continue doing Evolution. There are some talent in the company that are like, we don't need Evolution. We need better stories from a week-to-week basis and just more integration into shows. And if Raw is any indication, then hopefully it's headed that direction. Hopefully. DC Destiny says, do you think there's a chance that WWE puts a strap on Punk where he goes over against Gunther at SummerSlam? Yeah, I think it's possible. I think there is a chance. How many times have we seen Punk compete for or near that? Every time I type in cage match now, it sends me to a different section of their cage match. So let's see here. Punk did not win the title against Cena. He didn't win the qualifying triple threat match. They did give him, you know, title matches on house shows and stuff, but that doesn't count. He didn't win the Elimination Chamber to get there. He didn't win the Royal Rumble. And he didn't win the Royal Rumble the year before. So they have had him compete for the world title once and then come up short in getting that opportunity about four times. So I think pretty soon they gotta pull the trigger on that, right? Well, if you need to pull the trigger on a big hard penis, we got you covered there too.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Check it out, Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. So, let's talk about the Goldberg thing. He did an interview on Ariel Helwani, of which he said that he could say more in 2 weeks, which leads me to believe he had like a temporary contract with WWE, of which would prevent such a thing. And he said that in his world, like I'm trying to sort of aggregate what he said. He wishes that the show would have been on a PLE. He wished they wouldn't have cut him off so quickly after his interview, which I'm told they apologized for. And it wasn't like intentional to be that short. He said that they did plan for it to cut off at some point and it to be run online. He said that he wished the build would have been longer and that he's pissed about the way that he went out. He also said that he had his son reject an NIL deal from WWE after what they were offering, which implied it was too little, not too much type of thing. And said that he apologized to Gunther for cracking him in the face and for laughing at his chop. And it was in a very interesting way of which he was like, I just thought it would hurt a lot more. Then he spoke about breaking Charles Robinson's rib. And he said, yeah, I feel like I've broken his rib before, but it'll heal like the other one. Now, when this interview first started, I sympathized with Goldberg from a personal standpoint. I have never been a big fan of Goldberg's work. I have seen the use for Goldberg. I've respected what Goldberg has done for the industry, and I do believe he deserved a send-off as a result. I would imagine that he saw the Sting match in AEW and said, my God, look at that. That's incredible. But as Dave Koss says, when Goldberg told Ariel, I don't want to bitch and moan because I don't usually do that, I audibly laughed. He's a bitcher and a moaner. And he says, they could have promoted in January for a July show, asinine request, given him 20 minutes for his speech, and he complained about something else. That's just who he is, always has been, is what it is. So, Dave, I do got to say, I agree with Goldberg on a couple of points, but there's got to be some give and take there. They should have promoted this show way before. I knew this was going to be Goldberg's retirement match weekend for a number of months. We'd reported such. They should have given him more for the speech. But what they cared about was putting it on the weekend of AEW All In. That's what their focus was on, was putting it up against AEW All In, of whom I'm pretty sure, by the way, offered Goldberg a legit retirement run. I don't think that they needed to. I do think that like after 20 something seconds, that's a little ridiculous. That is like, let's get this guy the hell out of here. Dante says, well, I think Goldberg has an ego problem. WWE used him to counter AEW. He should be kind of pissed at WWE for the build. Just my opinion. I agree with you. It's like it was more about WWE wanting to counter program AEW than it was about giving this guy his send off. And again, not that I'm keen on his work, but I am keen on his contributions to wrestling. I thought that Gunther was a great opponent to send him off. I thought it was very weird how he was like, yeah, I thought it would hurt a lot more than it did. And it's like, well, I'm sorry that he didn't break your rib like you did to Charles Robinson, which is another weird thing to say. It'll heal like the other one. He talked about how people always give him crap about sweating coming to the ring because he says he pours a bottle of water on himself. It's like, yeah, but we also know about your other rituals, like running your head into a locker, getting a concussion, and almost ending The Undertaker's career or life, perhaps. Like any of that stuff. Like, and Charles Robinson is not a wrestler. He's not a wrestler. Thought the farewell was perfect and was surprised by his comments. Younger didn't grow up with Goldberg, but he makes it hard to support him. He does. And if you are younger and didn't grow up on him, I don't know that you can quite understand the stranglehold that he had on wrestling for a period, like for a very short period. I cannot begin to tell you guys how over this man was. Shotgun Sean says, heard Stevie Richards say Goldberg spears people for real, like a football tackle. Not doing that to Charles Robinson. Not cool doing that to Charles Robinson. Sounds like he's not sorry. Bray Wyatt, rest his soul, told me that Goldberg hits him in the nuts every time he spears him. Like just racked his balls. It sucks, man. The art is supposed to be to make it look real without it actually hurting. I always thought Bill had the perfect send-off after Mania 33, but Vince kept bringing him back. Yeah, and like, listen, I really liked the Dolph Ziggler thing. Like, Dolph Ziggler was not a person who needed to stay like super, super over, could sell his ass off. It was cool. He was willing to eat some spears and all that. He did a great job there. Did a great job. But like, did we need to see that Undertaker match? No. Did we need to see him win against the Fiend? No. I understand wanting to do the Roman Reigns match. I get it. But we didn't need to see most of these matches. And most of these matches were just really, really bad. The Goldberg match was okay. Or the Bobby Lashley match was okay, right? I think it was fine. But just very, very bad. But even then, I'm okay with him getting a send-off. I don't have a problem with it. If he wants to go to TNA or New Japan or AEW or somewhere else and do a send-off on his own terms, I wouldn't be bothered by that either. But I mean, I know that AEW did offer him or at least entertain it. New Lack City says Goldberg complaining about his speech is comical. He's never really respected the business. Now that he's officially retiring, he wants all the respect. NBC doesn't do overruns and his speech was available to watch. Someone ask Brett about this. Well, speaking of Brett, I want to say, please check out the new video that I posted, Fightful Studios, where I talk about the process of interviewing Brett the Hitman Hart. I am so proud of this video. I would love for these videos to take off and do crazy traffic, but I know we got to kind of build them. But it's the process of the interview, why it went from like a planned 15 minutes to 40 minutes, what it was used to promote, some of the things that he said, what he told me off camera, some of his family and all that stuff. Like, it is a phenomenal piece of work that we got up on Fightful Studios. All those are on tier two of FightfulSelect.com, early access, as well as our interviews as well. So please check that out. I will pin it in the comments at the top of this show. Actually, I'll post the damn link right now. That's what I'll do. Look at this. Go click that right now or else. Bam. Ever met Mercedes? And then a short chat. I crossed paths with her a couple times throughout the week, but we didn't speak. I've never had a conversation with Mercedes. But yeah, just never had a conversation. Sean, what's the biggest reason for the decline in Triple H's booking, and why does he bench talent when they get over? Is it learning from Vince? I think that every booker has their peaks and valleys, and right now I think that Triple H is in a valley, and there will be another creative renaissance in the future. That's what I expect out of Triple H. I think that he has, honestly, a lot more great years in front of him as a booker than behind him as a booker. But not everything can stay white hot. I think right now they keep usually one or two really hot stories at a time. It's going to be hurting right now. They need their next hit. That's something that Bruce Pritchard always said. They need a hit. And even without a hit, they are still doing really great numbers. But I think they will find that soon. So much of my big question mark for after Cena is champ and after Hangman became champ is the now what? Now what are they going to do in AEW? What are they going to do in WWE? They need a now what, and they need something really, really big planned, in my opinion. About to wrap up. Our friend Meat Norman says, on the record, you got me on the grill. How am I cooking your steak, and what are you putting on top? The answer will affect our friendship. Well, Meat Normus, how are you cooking my steak? However the hell you want to cook my steak. First off, I trust you. I trust you with my meat. I trust you to handle my meat effectively. That's how I feel. And honestly, like, listen, I like a steak with nothing on it sometimes. Sometimes I just like a big old piece of meat. Sometimes I just like to throw a big old piece of meat in my mouth. People are like, huh? What? Clip it. What are y'all talking about? I got a bunch of incel dweebs in here. Sean eats corn the long way. I mean, listen, that speaks volumes that those people are sexualizing me. But my own audience complaining about the meat that I like, the aptly prepared meat, unflavored meat that I wish to savor myself in my mouth. What are y'all talking about? Y'all are trying to guilt me over the meat preferences? How? Come on now. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Mr. Rai says, Sean, you think it's only a matter of time before we see Saraya return to WWE? She hasn't been shy about her desire to go back. I think we will. I think we have not seen the last appearance of Saraya in WWE. I think that she should get a short run. Little title program upon returning, and then a tag team thing would make a lot of sense. I definitely think that we'll see that in some point. Somebody says, your haters will have a field day with that. Listen, they already watched my shit, so like, come on now. Listen, people, I just want to say this. If you are oddly obsessed with a pro wrestling writer, I can't think of anything dorkier. Could you imagine going on a date with somebody and they're like, what'd you do today? And you're like, oh, I owned this wrestling writer. He's such a mark. And they'd be like, okay. My thing is always like, read your tweets out loud to a loved one and let me know how they would respond to that. Somebody asking about Disco. Listen, Disco was dumb enough to fall for Grok. The Twitter Grok was dumb enough to fall for a parody account poorly photoshopping, pretending that I replied to myself thinking I was from a burner. I have never needed a burner to say what I'm going to say. Anything I've ever tweeted is from an account with my name or brand on it. But at some point in life, people have decided that directly speaking to a person about an issue you have is somehow weirder than tweeting about it. That's why I'll see people that are like, I can't believe Sean's in somebody's DM. Yeah, I'll talk to somebody directly if I got a problem with them. That's the way that things usually get figured out. Or you'll see if people are doing things for likes, retweets, whatever. But that man was dumb enough to fall for that. But I was very happy to tell him how stupid he was directly. Concord says, do you see Cody winning the title with him going away soon? If not, who could you potentially see winning it? Appreciate all the work you put in. Yeah, I could still see him winning the title because Cody is a workhorse. And if he can make dates, he is still going to make dates. That's just the way that he is, man. If he can't make dates, he's going to do his damnedest to do it. He is going to try his hardest to do it. He is going to do everything he can to be on that show. The same people chant, what? I mean, there is definitely, like, listen, there is definitely a cross-section into people who are very, very angry at me, people who do not care about the truth, people who chant what at their TV, people who are wildly disrespectful to women and minorities. There's definitely a Venn diagram of that, and they a lot of them sort of meet in the middle. I'm not going to say that's everybody. Vasco says, you mean actual effective communication between people? Yeah. If you hear somebody say, oh, but there's been actual verified instances of Sean being in somebody's DMs, you're goddamn right there are. Because if I have an issue with it, I don't have to go tweet about it. I will say, what's up? What's your fucking deal? What's the problem? That's the way that people directly communicate. Yeah, I'll directly communicate with you. Shocker. What is this, like some big revelation? This some big wrestling news break or something? Yes. There is nothing I will say on Twitter that I wouldn't say directly to you. I went to Eddie Kingston directly. And you know what he did? Like a man responded to me. And he's like, hey, yo, just a miscommunication. We're good. Because he's a man. That's why. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Please go check out that Bret Hart video. Would really appreciate that. I am back here tonight for the AEW post show. Very excited to see how they follow up on that stuff. Somebody says, Sean ain't no punk. And like, listen, I'm not an intimidating person, but if you publicly show yourself as not willing to say something to a wrestling writer, well, then what are you going to do with all the wrestlers that you bash online and all that stuff, man? Like, you know what I mean? Sort of a point proving thing here. Like, I don't tweet, talk, report about somebody without expecting to hear about it. And he seasons his meat. Not always, buddy. Not always. Could you see Eddie Kingston winning a world title? I could, because I think that he'll wrestle till he's an old man. And I think that he will have a very emotional title win whenever that happens. I just can't wait to see him back. I mean, I know a lot of people were expecting him back in May, but man, his injury was extensive, man. It was very extensive. But guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please do it. Until next time, my friends. Cook your steaks well.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aerohit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.